Welcome to the Head Ballet Podcast. This is the place to come to hear my guests discuss with me, Paul Abbott, their favourite novelty songs, the funny, the weird, the daft, and the outright baffling tunes that have been skipping and dancing around in their heads for years. Everybody loves something that could be considered novel, so why not celebrate it? This is a special one-off episode of the podcast because my guest, author, podcaster, radio presenter, Ben Baker, sent me a song that I fell in love with instantly and I just couldn't bear to keep it to myself. So you've got him to blame, and the best way to punish him would be to go out and buy all of his amazing quiz books and telly books and all that sort of stuff. That'll teach him. Hopefully I will be back before too long with some new episodes of the Head Ballet Podcast. As things, you know, get back to normal, mainly my brain, I'm starting to talk to guests about what they'd like to bring along, so, you know, plans are afoot. Do watch this pod space, and if you want to get in touch, you can find me at Head Ballet Pod on the various social media things. And in the meantime, you might like to listen to my brother and I on our Beatles podcast, The Big Beatles Sort Out, which you can find on Twitter at @big_sort, and in all the usual podcast player places. Right, now it's time to settle back, let your diodes, transistors and various other metal bits cool down as we go back to 1966. Bleep and or bloop. Now, Ben, I've been making tentative plans for doing some more episodes of the Head Ballet Podcast for a couple of weeks, you know, thinking about starting up again in perhaps a couple of months when I'm ready. But what should happen during this, you know, period of pondering, but you sending me a link to a particular song?
Yes, I mean, I love the fact you said, but what happened? You, glorious you, came into my life. Yes. And what did you bring?
Yeah, well,
a strange song about robots.
Yes. Let me say, it's a song that hit me very powerfully, very powerfully. It was a very visceral reaction I had to this song.
I mean, I'm delighted because I saw it on this website and I immediately sent it to you before I'd even heard it because it seemed to tick the boxes I know, which are robots and novelty pop. Yes. And 60s as well, just for a bit of extra.
Yes, well, I felt that I really needed to convene this emergency podcast so we could discuss it.
Well, yes, and I'm very glad to enter into the protective bunker once more to discuss it. Have we told them what it is?
No, well, to lead us right off, you can tell our dear listening public what it is that you've dug up that has struck me so forcefully.
That sounds like I've thrown a rock at your head. In some ways I have, because I've given you Bent Bolt and the Nuts with the Mechanical Man.
I'm a mechanical man. I was built in a factory. My serial number is 08456712123. I'm designed
in the US. What a man he is, as you can clearly hear in that clip there.
Yes, indeed. Wow. I've got a lot to say about this. Although, ironically, very little information.
Yeah.
But, I mean, where did you come across this? What led you to this masterpiece?
So, I do podcasts of my own, and I've been making little mix programs for a radio station that I'm involved with. And I fancied doing one which was a bit like that kind of Blue Jam kind of feel, half woozy, half awake, half asleep, late night, chill out thing, but with none of the, you know, the really unpleasant stuff. So I started looking for weird records. And I fell upon this 365 Days Project website, which was in 2003 and 2007, the sort of oddball independent community New Jersey radio station WFMU, which I suspect a lot of listeners will know from various reasons. They had this thing where basically they invited people to share weird audio, effectively. And it says, 365 days of cool and strange and often obscure audio selections. Mm-hmm. Some words describe the material could be celebrity, children, demonstration, indigenous, industrial, outsider, song poem, spoken, ventriloquism, and on, the best thing to do is simply listen. So I went through for weird stuff to put in these mixes, and whilst this wasn't very suited for a sort of, I think this would startle you awake.
Yeah, it doesn't really have that sort of, that cool Portishead trip-hop vibe to it.
Yeah, very much the opposite, if there was an opposite to that. Yeah. It would be Portishead, probably. But I sent it to you because, as I said, robots, 60s. And novelty top. There you go.
It's brilliant. I mean, I think the thing to point out is, in terms of information, like I say, there's very little information on the web. There's quite a lot of people saying, oh, I remember this and I've heard it. And you can obviously, you can hear the track itself quite easily. Can't find the flip side anywhere. I think it was released on the 31st of October, 1966, according to a catalogue of MGM records releases I found. So this is what's startling. This is a very weird thing, but it's out on MGM. This isn't some little obscure label or anything.
And obviously it has a cover, which, you know, records weren't necessarily bound to get one back then. And it's got quite a fancy cover featuring the very specific sort of Japanese robot. I think it's Horikawa.
Right.
With basically a famous, if you've seen like a tin old 60s looking robot, it's that. And the best thing is, apparently, if you want to Google this now, I'm sure the artwork will be with the podcast.
Yeah,
it's a robot, but look at his head.
It's got a Lego brick
shoulders.
On it. It's got Lego bricks on him.
Yeah, they've just stuck some random Lego bricks on it.
Is this some sort of like attempt to get around it? Image copyright or something like that. So it's not the same robot. We've stuck something on
him. No, I assume it's like the A-Team. They've modified the man. You know? Yeah. it's a rather ridiculous thing. But then again, all of this is ridiculous.
It is, yeah. And it is a classic, if you ask someone to draw a robot, it's this sort of thing that they'd come up with. Generally speaking, it's got sort of a red perspex eyes, which I presume that glow on the toy. It also has, as most robots seem to do, like things on its breastplate where...
Lighty breasts. Lighty breasts. But also little, slightly like eyes.
Yeah, it's like it's got a big face on its chest, but its chest also looks like a cabinet.
Yeah.
But the first thing it reminded me of, and I'm sure a lot of folk of our age or thereabouts will remember this, in the 80s there was a robot that people had called Magic Mike, the atomic-powered robot. And I had one as a kid.
Ruined by strippers.
Well, yes. Yeah. The name
don't
doesn't...
Google it.
Yeah. But this robot I had as a kid, like when I was very, very little, because I believe it came out in 1984, so I would have been six when that came out. Had a sort of bump and go action, you know, like a lot of toys that'd bump into something, then they'd carry on moving. But it also had sound effects. And just before we get stuck into the mechanical man, I have to say, I was terrified of Magic Mike, the atomic-powered robot. It used to make all these laser noises when you pressed a button on its head and occasionally would say...
I am the atomic-powered robot. Please give my best wishes to everybody.
Now, you see, I'm not sure best wishes and atomic robot are necessarily statements that go hand in hand.
I think when I was in single figures, it felt... incongruous, the combination of atomic power and best wishes.
I am going to bring on the destruction of everyone in the universe. How's your nan?
But yeah,
Tell her I asked.
I have memories of the sense of horror that this thing used to instill in me. And I love robots, as we've ascertained over...
Yes.
But this thing, for some reason... Oh, God. Anyway, the cover of this single... from 1966, has a classic sort of toy robot on it. And like you say, you don't... Well, certainly in the UK in the 60s, you didn't get many picture disc, or picture sleeve things, but overseas you did, and this is an American example anyway. Because, yes, as if you couldn't tell, this is a record from America.
Yeah, and it's a very eye-catching cover as well, while we're on it, basically. Like, I think it's the sort of thing, if you were at a record fair, you saw that, you'd buy it regardless of what it sounded like. And the fact that the artist is called Bent Bolt and the Nuts, it's just like the cherry on top, really. It taps into that it's that sort of Fab Cafe retro kind of sort of familiarity, I would say. It's probably not that cool anymore. I think this very much ties into those kind of retro enthusiasms.
I think so. You'd be right. It would stand out in a box of singles if you were flicking through, looking at some old records. I mean, we need to, before we get into who Bent Bolt and the Nuts is or isn't, we need to sort of describe it. I mean, the thing that struck me most about it, apart from the fact that it is, I find it very funny and I like the very weird performance and the vocal is, you know, a whole thing in and of itself, is it sounds really garage rock.
My note on it was, it's got that beat style that always seems to be playing when Batman runs through a party in like the mid-60s series.
You shake a pretty mean cake, Batman.
It's nothing. It's...
But yeah, as you say, it's that garage kind of sort of drum beat sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a bit like stuff you'd come across on like a Mayhem and Psychosis compilation or bits of Nuggets or something like that.
I was made out of stainless steel to protect my brain from rust. There's a vacuum cleaner built into my chest that automatically picks up dust.
Yeah, it would be like Nuggets 47 still, but you know, it'd be like, it still kind of has ties with that... that whole world, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
It's weird because obviously that's the music, but the vocal is... I am a Robert. How is it? Oh, it's not good. Because it's not. Apparently being a robot is not that great.
Well, yeah, he's not a particularly happy chap, despite his many skills and abilities, which we can come on to. But yeah, the music's enhanced by... what novelty records often have, which is a few sound effects. So there's like a hammer on metal, like anvil sound, used as part of the beat in it.
Which is kind of ahead of its time when you think of industrial music, how it became. Yeah, and no, stuff, you know?
Very much so because
the 80s, yeah.
It is a sort of repeated rhythm thing going on with it. Mm. But it also has, for some reason, cuckoo noises and little bird noises in it, which I presume are just supposed to be mechanism noises of some sort.
Yeah, I think they're just there as much as anything else. Is that on the same sound effects record? Yeah, I'd stick that on. It's fine.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, a few twangs and a good collapsing effect at the end of the record.
Which is a very sad. It's a sad ending.
Like, it is.
It can make you a cup of tea and stuff. But ultimately, he is lonely. He's forlorn.
He is. Yeah, it's very sad. I mean, the vocal is astonishing because of how it sounds. It is literally one note all the way through, except for about five words where it moves up a single tone.
Mm.
It's all on the note of D, if anyone wants to sing along at home. And there's one line, the pour you a cup of tea line, it moves up to the note E, and then it goes back again.
I can fix an automobile. I can put up a Christmas tree. I can milk a cow. I can mow a lawn. I can pour you a cup of tea.
And that's it. But it's the way it's done, because it doesn't sound to me like it's got any sort of studio effects on it. It sounds like someone's making that sound with their voice.
I don't think it is. I mean, it sounds like the sort of thing you just stick through a vocoder, sort of, certainly in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, you think of stuff like Marvin the Paranoid Android and that. But he's actually just doing it. And my God, his throat must have been like sandpaper by the end of this session.
Yeah. I have a strong suspicion that whoever's singing it is singing it because they could do that. It's almost like someone went, you can do that weird thing with your voice.
Yeah.
You sound like a robot, so we're going to make a record of it.
It'd be like someone going to Rob Brydon and saying, we'll do a small man in the box.
Yeah.
single.
Yeah. I mean, I sometimes get, if I get a sort of like liquid in my throat or whatever, I can do a very good Dalek without any need for ring modulation. But I can't sustain it. I certainly couldn't sustain it and sing all the way through for 2 minutes or so. And... especially delivering these lines, which are great. But, okay, so The Mechanical Man by Bent Bolt and the Nuts.
Mm.
Who the hell are Bent Bolt and the Nuts?
I mean, it's very hard to sort of get good information on that, but we know it was basically a chap called Alessandro Carmelo Randazzo, or Teddy to his pals, and robot friends. And he was basically the sort of person who thrived in the pre-Beatle world, writing and arranging lots and lots of songs. Apparently he's written thousands of songs, and quite a few of them were minor hits, not necessarily that memorable. You know, I couldn't tell you a title now, and you go, oh, yeah, of
course. Well, I could. I think if people want to know who Teddy Randazzo was, the song Going Out of My Head. I think I'm going out of my head. That, which was done by Little Anthony and the Imperials.
Yeah.
Dionne Warwick, and of course Cilla did a version. Not to be left behind by Dionne. Or Warwick, sorry, not Warwick. Like the place.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head over you. To want me, I need you so badly, I can't think of anything.
But that, you know, that's one of the most recorded songs of all time, apparently. Mm. But yeah, he produced hundreds, if not thousands, of pieces of music.
Yeah, I'd, when you asked me, when he said, I want to do a podcast about this, I went on a bit of a deep dive on Discogs.
Ooh.
Is that
have we got Morse code for the rest of this?
Yes, apparently I have. I've just said Morse code for please send more wine, which is good because I'm not even drinking. But weirdly, considering he's written all these tracks, he's only got 5 albums to his official name on there. And they're all beautifully named. So he started 1958 with I'm Confessing.
Ooh.
No G, he's confessing, but he's confessing that he's dropped the G in part. And then there's K-Poi presents Teddy Randazzo's Million Dollar Party Encore.
Ooh.
And then Journey to Love, self-explanatory.
Right. Yeah.
And then Teddy Randazzo featuring the Dazzlers.
Nice, that's a good name.
With Teddy Randazzo Twists. So you're already getting a general idea of jumping on trends and stuff like that. And no more so than the last one, music from the television series The Girl from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Which is bizarre. It's fascinating. I didn't say he wrote tunes for lots of people, but clearly tried to have a go himself. And there's lots and lots of singles. I'm on a Merry-Go-Round / Lies. Which I did misread initially as I'm on a merry-go-round of lies.
Oh, blimey, I like that. That's conceptual.
Which sounds, I will not go in your merry-go-round of lies. dramatic. The Way of a Clown in 1960.
Yes, I listened to that one, actually. That's almost like it could be an Everly Brothers tune, except for the fact that it's got this really big sort of soupy strings arrangement on it.
Mm.
Yeah, very... very studio.
That's the way of a clown. It's the part I must play. That's the way of a clown.
And worryingly, when I said that, I bet at least half of the audience thought of the clown from Descartes. Other clowns are available and equally horrific.
Yes, it's just not doing my colorophobia any good.
Yeah, I'm scared of clowns as well. He also did Mother Goose Twist in 1961, which I'm assuming is like twisting the neck to dispose of Mother Goose. And foot stomping, Ooh Poo Pardoo. And the theme from A Patch of Blue, as opposed to the less successful A Patch of Brown. Presumably, a patch of sort of weird greeny yellow in the carpet.
Well, I found out a quite bit interesting thing that, you know, one of his establishing points in his career was when he was playing accordion with a group called the Three Chuckles, which is a great name for a group.
Mm.
But yeah, I think what's interesting is he wrote all these hundreds of songs. He's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame.
Yes, I saw he was inducted with his writing partner, Bobby Weinstein.
Yeah. And he featured in a few of those rock and roll films made by Alan Freed. So he was, you know, people would have known who he was. But this thing is baffling because side A is The Mechanical Man by Bent, Bolt and the Nuts. And side B is an instrumental called Sweet and Sour, which is just credited to Teddy Randazzo, arranged and produced by. Actually, I can't even find an MP3 of.
No, I did a bit of hunting there as well. It's very strange. Just for completism, I think you'd.
You want to know what was on the B side of this mad single.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Teddy Randazzo actually has anything to do with Mechanical Man.
You reckon?
Other than his production company has allowed it to be released.
Oh, so you reckon it might have been something along the lines of like when someone has a production deal and stuff comes out sort of under their...
Yeah.
Under their baton.
Yeah,
you know?
So I tried to do a bit of digging and I can only find a little bit, but the credits for The Mechanical Man as a song are Astone, Mastrin, Bergio and Gartman.
Four writers
for this.
Four credited people put this record together.
Yeah.
Bleep Bloop, I Am Made of Tin.
And although the publishing is credited to Alessandro Music, which is Teddy Randazzo's publishing company, it says on the label sleeve, it says produced by CLCL Productions for Teddy Randazzo Productions.
Oh.
And I cannot find anything out about CLCL Productions.
Like it was a subcontracted kind of
affair. But I did find from Cashbox magazine on November 1966, so not long after this has come out, talking about how Teddy Randazzo has just formed an independent record production firm, going to be based in Broadway in New York. Teddy Randazzo Productions will continue to function as a separate entity. Current Records, A&R'd by Randazzo, so that's a sort of producer, artist and repertoire thing. Anthony and the Imperials for Veep Records. Others include The Mechanical Man by Bent, Bolt and the Nuts for MGM. So it suggests it is someone else, but that's odd because he is... The flip side is something just himself.
Yeah.
And it does say then... another one on here is listed as Gluey Christmas by Little Georgie Holiday.
Mummy, when Santa Claus comes, will he stay?
No, now go to sleep.
He's gonna stay, I'll make sure of that. I'm gonna spread some glue around my Christmas tree so Santa Claus can stick around for you.
Gluey Christmas.
No. You can't make me. No. You think every novelty angle on a Christmas single has been taken in some ways, and then you find new ones. You go, no. Apparently, adding glue to the situation apparently is one I had not previously considered.
Yeah, indeed. And I did look through the catalogue of copyright entries to see if there's anything that could be revealed on that, and there was nothing except that it confirmed to me the first names of the writers. Of which one of them was Con Astone, who was a guitarist and singer who did work with Teddy Randazzo quite a lot. So that's another link there. The others are like Carmen Mastrin, who was in the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra in the 30s, but then became a studio musician. So, and then a couple more songwriters. And the listing of the catalogue of copyright entries, which is alphabetical by song title, the two songs listed above Mechanical Man, which have nothing to do with it, a song written by Hank Johnson called Meat Wave.
Meat Wave!
And a song above that by someone called George Primo called The Meat! The Meat! The Meat!
Oh, this is next series previewed already for this show.
Well, I suspect I may have drilled down into an obscurity that cannot be... There will be no evidence of what this song is. It could be a song from an advert. It could be
anything. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see you do just a series purely on meat-based novelties.
I didn't expect there to be so many, but yeah.
And then you can end with Captain Sensible's What No Meat, you know, as like a big finale. But do you know there's like four writers on this? It's like, based on what you said there, do you think it's like there were just four people in the studio and they were all throwing stuff in, basically, like the noises and stuff. Do you think that's sort of including production elements?
I think it is. I think it's just someone's come up with something and they've tried to find a home for it. And perhaps one of them, Connor Stone, is like, oh, well, my mate Teddy Randazzo has got his own company coming up. And he's
got his own deal in...
Yeah, and MGM are distributing these things. Mm. MGM presumably went, oh, that sounds like a good novelty song. That might do something.
Were MGM putting out hits then? Like, because I don't really know MGM as a record label, but obviously it's an instantly familiar brand, I suppose. So, I mean, did they mainly release sort of like soundtracks, I'm guessing?
I think they did all sorts. I think they were just quite a big company. But yes, I think they, because they had so many of their own visual products, I think they put out a lot of stuff like cartoon, you know, little things from cartoons and stuff like that, as well as films and TV, and then just music stuff as well. Well, let's have a little look at what the Mechanical Man can do. I mean, one of the reasons I wanted to do this is I really love the lyrics to this as much as I love the performance.
I genuinely thought you'd enjoy it, but the response was... I think you'd listened to it six times, like, in a row, and I'm just like, okay, I mean, it's good, I guess.
Yeah. It's the fact that... So the opening is about, is that the third line is him just reading out a long number, which is his serial number.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good way of filling, you know, you didn't get, you know, Lennon and McCartney going, you know, what rhymes with love from me to you? Oh, I know. And also 6525359 2.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, it's weird because it's sort of zeitgeisty, I assume, because mechanisation of factories was a big thing happening in the 60s. You know, it talks about being designed in the USA and manufactured in Japan.
It's always been an obsession, I suppose, of the rest of the world because of its just alien nature.
Yeah, but we move then on to the hook, which is, does anybody here know a robot girl who wants to meet a mechanical man? So there's a sadness at the heart of this, isn't there?
It is. It's genuinely quite maudlin.
Because he then goes on to list all his achievements, like what he's made out of, the fact that he's got a vacuum cleaner in his chest.
Yes, which, again, I thought, where's this going? And then it's in his chest. I'm not sure it's better. But you are basically getting Crichton. When he's groin attachments in your mind. I don't care what he's saying.
Yeah, because he's 5'8" tall, so...
I am 5'8" tall and as strong as a moving van. Does anybody know a robot girl who wants to meet a mechanical man?
I have to question the line, and as strong as a... And so they've clearly had to think, what can we fit to rhyme with man to represent his strength? And they've come up with, and as strong as a moving van.
I mean, is the moving part relevant?
I don't know. But yeah, he can fix an automobile, he can put up a Christmas tree, he can milk a cow, mow a lawn, and pour you a cup of tea.
I mean, I'm guessing this is kind of what sort of automation things were doing back then. There was, you know, when you see those videos, the future of technology. When we go see little Jimmy how the cow is milked steadily by the robot, and only 16 have died today. it's that kind of like the thing that The Simpsons always parodies quite a lot. It feels like that.
Yeah,
it also feels like it fits very much with the Doctor Who singles that were coming out at the time, because they were like, you know, Once Remember Christmas with a Dalek and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's weird because robots, the idea of robots.
Yeah, because it hasn't fully evolved into what we think of with robots now, because it's not androids at this point.
No.
It's literally big chunky machines that we're going, oh, they can walk around or they can move. But actually, this song sort of reflects the reality, which is they were fixed in place in car factories. Or in farms, or, you know.
Yeah.
And then you'd get a novelty of, like, imagine the butler of the future type thing.
When was Lost in Space, the original series of that?
Oh,
that must have been about the same time.
Yeah, it'd been about this
65?
Time,
65?
Yeah.
My sensors indicate the presence of aliens.
How many?
4 1/8.
Obviously, there's few more striking robots than that, and it's not dissimilar, I'm guessing. But, you know, there has always been that level of, basically from Robbie the Robot onwards, basically like distrust, but robots really want to help us. How many stories have there been, which is basically just that, and all he wanted to do was be our friend.
Yes, it's the sort of Frankenstein monster thing, isn't it?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, I guess that's it. It's I think we're fascinated by the idea of being destroyed by something made by our own hand, yes. I'm guessing, is the kind of generalization of that.
Playing God. Yeah, so this poor robot, though, is just looking, you know, this turns into basically would like to meet type advert.
Gendered robots, but not a thing, presumably. So, you know, is he going to be, is there a robot woman out there? Is there a mechanical woman? Or, yeah. Or is it even sadder because he wants something that doesn't exist?
Well, who knows? Whatever happens is, you know, this song ends very sadly.
I would not care at all if she looked like a garbage can. Does anybody here know a robot girl who wants to be a mechanical?
As we all know, robosexuality is a spectrum, and we respect all of it. It's that kind of just like, oh, is it going to be like... Because there are jokes and stuff where like, oh, who's that cutie? That's the waist compactor. You know, oh yes. I'm going to go on a date with them. That sort of thing, you know, sassy robots and stuff.
Yes, yeah, there is some of that, isn't there?
So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they could have found love on that instrumental B-side we can't find.
Yes, possibly. That's the sound of them dancing together.
I have to say, speaking of dancing, a weird fact I found out about this. One of Cold Cut, you know, People Hold On and everything.
Right.
Like, big sort of dance act in the late 80s, 90s. Apparently, he used to play it in club sets.
Yeah.
And just like, watching fascination as people tried to dance to it.
I mean, it's pretty groovy, but you'd be... It's such an arresting sound that it's probably quite hard to concentrate on moving your feet.
Yeah, there's a reason why the robot as a dance was invented and it would not fit with this particular tune.
No, but yeah, I did pick up on one thing though. So he says he doesn't care if she looks like a garbage can. Now, I've got a question for you off the back of that, Ben.
What is the sexiest bin I've ever kissed?
Is Dusty Bin a robot?
Well, yes, but only that particular Dusty Bin, because you do see the controls.
Oh.
You know, there is video of the person, it's remote control based.
Yeah.
So in that particular instance, yes, Dusty Bin is, but the one you would take home with you, very much not.
If only Dusty Bin had his own record.
No, don't do it.
Well.
Don't do it.
He doesn't, except in the sense that Ted Rogers and the Young'uns put out a record called Dusty Bin.
I took him to a party just the other day. Though everybody loves him, you can't give him away. He's a great big booby, the prize of them all. You can hear the kids all say, Dusty, Dusty, Dusty Bin.
You did it. I mean, Ted Rogers brought out two novelty records, at least that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's that, which is... It just is. That's all I can say, that it just is. But there's, of course, there's also the one about Jaws, effectively.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yes, you've played that in the past, haven't you?
Mr. Shark, yeah. Beware of Mr. Shark.
There's a dorsal fin, Glenn. Mind those big teeth, Keith. His jaws open wide, Clyde, and that ain't no place to be. So watch out for your leg, Peg, or you'll have a peg leg. Quick, on the lock, clamber, bamber, or you'll be a starter for tea.
He's not a singer.
No.
By any stretch. Because I don't think Dusty Bin, or indeed Mechanical Man, charted in any way.
No, sadly. it's quite hard to get your robot song into the chart if you're not Daft Punk, really.
I do wonder, like, you get this image of sort of, certainly when you think of the Payola scandal, like the people who went round record labels in America trying to push new records and going, got one for you here, Jimmy. Oh, it's a doozy. Picture the scene. A man made out of metal. Is it a happy man? No, he's a sad mechanical man.
The kids are going to love him.
It's gonna...
I almost got the voice
them already. Yeah, it's like, you can imagine, obviously, your market is kids.
Yeah, I think so, this. Yeah.
But it would need a TV tie-in, I think, or a film tie-in, probably, to be a hit.
And something other than a sort of a syrupy instrumental on the other side, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like they sort of started and there's like, oh, I'll do.
Yeah.
That'll be all right.
Well, I did find out that this featured in Kenny Everett's World Worst Record Show.
It did.
Which was ended up as a list of 30 songs that he considered to, you know, or the public voted for, and he put together.
Yeah, public voted. Yeah. Well, I think they sent them in over a number of weeks, and then they voted on them. And it's a we had the album version of, which this isn't on, unfortunately. This isn't included in the World's Worst Record Show LP, which I think was Ronco.
Right.
Put those out with a picture of Everett, Superman, on the front cover. But this isn't on the album, unfortunately.
No, it's a very interesting list. I mean, you could do a whole podcast just on the list of things from the World's Worst Record Show Top 30, of which some of them I dispute, because Mechanical Man is brilliant for a kickoff.
I mean, it places between Hayley Mills with a fairly standard, not very interesting sort of early 60s hit, and Steve Bent's I'm Going to Spain.
Yeah.
Which was weirdly later covered by The Fall in 1993.
Yeah, they covered some interesting things. But, like, Let's Get Together by Hayley Mills is just a sort of silly film song.
Yeah,
And it's in that list below Surfing Bird by The Trashmen, which is now thought of really well, even though, you know, played to death now, really.
Yeah. Well, memed to death.
Yeah, memed to death. I dispute that Kinky Boots should be in there as well, because I love Kinky Boots.
It's weird, because the scope is whatever you've got available to you, I guess.
Yeah.
And yet, there's stuff like My Pullover, which is defies recording, never mind releasing.
This pullover that you gave to me, I am wearing and wear it constantly. Soft and warming, like your love for me. It was made, dear, like you were made for me. This pullover, I find very smart.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting list. Like Transfusion by Nervous Norvus often makes those lists, and that's in there. And I Want My Baby Back at number one in that list by Jimmy Cross, which is has to be heard to be believed, really.
Mm.
But I dispute Mechanical Man is in the 30 worst songs ever, so...
But it's strange how, again, I'm assuming someone just sent that in to Kenny and just went, here, this is one. Or he found it himself. I suspect he liked Novelty Records himself.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I suspect he picked it up on American trips and stuff like that.
Well, he liked making stuff with sound effects and
well, yeah,
strange
you think
things.
It'd be right up his Strasser, wouldn't you, really, considering there's at least one robot character in his old 60s and 70s stuff, I imagine.
Yeah, well, he was all over that sci-fi stuff, wasn't he? So,
yeah.
So anyway, on the story then of The Mechanical Man by Bent, Bolt and the Nuts, I don't believe it's Teddy Randazzo, but I quite like that there is some mystery to it. I did find at the bottom of one of the few pages that refers to it, a little message from someone saying, I just sent this recording of Mechanical Man to Teddy Randazzo Jr.
Of course there's...
I sent him for... He's a friend of mine. I sent it to him for his listening pleasure. I wasn't sure he was even aware of it. So one of Teddy Randazzo's children was clearly never heard of Mechanical Man.
I mean, I guess it was like knocked out in a few hours sort of thing, you know, as records were.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing because the B-side is a unrelated instrumental, it was just what was lying around, really, you know.
Yeah, I think so.
Not already licensed.
It's very strange. It's a novelty for so many reasons, not least the mystery and how it got released in. I'm glad it did, but it seems baffling that it did.
Yeah.
And the only other thing to add is I found one cover version of it.
No.
Done by a Quebecois, how do you say that? Quebecois Canadian singer called Jacques Desrosiers. And it's a single of Guantanamera, and on the flip side is a song called L'Homme Mécanique.
No. So it's actually translated.
So it's a French language single. So Jacques Desrosiers was a sort of Canadian French, seems to have been a comedian or comic musician. So this version of Guantanamera is deliberately awful, screechy, weird. But then L'Homme Mécanique, which he's credited to him, a bit naughty really, is
as a complete right.
Yeah. Just a cover of Mechanical Man. My French isn't good enough to translate it all, but it exists out there. L'Homme Mécanique, and he does it like that, but he doesn't do the voice quite as well, you know, and it's all in French. But
when was this?
That was from 1967, so just after this.
Oh, so just after then, so not really.
It wasn't years later, so...
Je suis un homme mécanique construit comme un automobile. Mon numéro de série est 3, 3, 4, 5, 6, sonné 2, 2, 3. Dessiné par Walt Disney. Et quand vous pressez sur mon nez...
But it's interesting how you would do a robot before the standard tools which make a robot. You know, we all know what a robot sounds like now. I have used a robot on podcasts, and indeed, you know, I googled for best robot sounds, you know, getting the echo just right to go bleep, bloody bloop, you know. But, you know, that's just what we know. We know that to be the sound of a robot. Maybe back in the mid-60s, you know, it was still up for interpretation.
Indeed. And the main way to represent you being a robot was to say, I am a robot.
Yeah, well, it helps. It definitely helps, yeah.
Yeah, make the statement. So let's sum it up. Ben, what do you really think of The Mechanical Man by Bent Bolt and the Nuts? What does it mean?
I just want him to be happy. Because listen to it, like, again, I think the idea of a sad robot post-Marvin, especially, is not one which is unusual to us. But for it to end on such a bleak note, that's 2 minutes, you've not really got much time to play with. But yeah, it's fascinating. I don't know why you'd want to... you listened to it multiple in a row. How many times have you listened to it since I linked to it a fortnight ago?
Oh, goodness only knows. I've a lot.
If that, it was maybe a week ago, actually.
Yeah.
It's just like, obsessed.
Yeah. It's great.
I'm obsessed.
It's great.
And that's why we're doing this. Don't think I brought this, listeners, to him. I did send it to him, but we're doing this because he wants to talk about it.
Yes, indeed.
Because he is Robo Bonkers.
That's me. Anyway, right. Anything final to add at all, Ben?
Bleep bloop.
I think that's definitely says it all. Thanks, Ben.
Tea.
Oh, no. We'll be right back.